Praise God. Praise God. Thank God for his wonderful attributes, his wonderful characteristics. He is truly wonderful. Amen. Today I got to move expeditiously to the word of God for the sake of time on today. And also we're going to be honoring the Lord in our Holy Communion. We want to move to the word of God. Again, we've been dealing with this subject of boundary defenders for some time now, and we want to continue dealing with these principles as relates to the Word of God and God giving us to be the boundary defenders as he's given us to be. And of course, we gave a foundational scripture, two foundational scriptures in Deuteronomy 19:14 and Proverbs 22:28 that says to us, thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark, which they of old time have set in thine inheritance, which thou shalt inherit in the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess. And then Proverbs 22:28 says, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. And so we've been talking on this subject because, again, we're in a society. We're in a time. Kaylin, good to see you. Bless you. We're in a society. We're living in a time where the landmarks, the truths and principles of God's word in this society that we're living in are slowly trying to be moved, altered. Things that God has established in the word of God, and we know the word is forever settled in heaven. We know the word of God is true and God cannot lie. But we are living in a time, as Paul talked about when he wrote his letter to Timothy, he said that, you know, in the last days, there are going to be perilous times. That's dangerous times. Dangerous, not just in the sense of, you know, murder and crime and kidnapping and sexual trafficking and all the things that we see going on in society, drug addiction, all those things. He's talking about the danger that comes even in the house of God, the church, whereby there's going to be doctrine of demons being taught. Demonic doctrine that is designed to appease the ears of people for the purpose of deceiving them and to slowly but surely cause people who once had strong convictions about God, strong convictions about the word, strong convictions about church and service and commitment to God to slowly drift away. It's called apostasy, where they slowly fall away and move more into an apathetic state, apathy, where there is no strong stance for righteousness and truth. And this is why I believe God has given us this mandate and given us this word as Unity Worship Center and those who hear that we have to be boundary defenders. We got to remember the purpose which God saved us. He didn't just save us so we wouldn't go to hell. He didn't just save us so that we would have, again, a good feeling when we come to church. He saved us and he delivered us. He redeemed us that we might be light in the midst of darkness. That we might be the salt of the earth. To preserve the principles of righteousness and truth that he established from the very beginning. We can never lose sight of that as God's people and get caught up into this Americanized mindset of convenience, of what is good for me and what, again, I want and what I like. Because in doing so, you and I can move away from the truth of Scripture. And this is what you got to be mindful of and battle against. And we got to battle against these things in our lives because this is what is the ideology and what is the spirit of the day. The spirit. There is a spirit in the air. It's being channeled and it's being communicated through social media, through, again, television outlets, through movies, through music, through, again, news broadcasts. It's even being promulgated through the governmental system of policies and laws that's being put in place to slowly but surely cause we as God's people to move away from the truth of Scripture. But remember, we've been called to be those boundary defenders. We cannot allow the ancient landmarks to be moved because if they're moved, if they are ever moved, if we begin to change and if we begin to alter, again, God's word, then there's no going back. there is no going back once you get on that slippery slope. And so we've been dealing with that. And so we read to you from Ezekiel 3 and 17 through 21. We told you what Ezekiel's mandate was that God gave him as a prophet of the Lord, that he said, listen, you are a watchman. I've set you as a watchman, and I've given you a mandate that you warn the wicked of their way. You warn when the enemy is coming, and you got to sound that alarm, and you got to declare the word of God. And this is the what we got to have that same understanding as God's people. We have a mandate from God to stand on the wall of the word. We stand on a wall of truth, and we declare that truth to all who are the bystanders and those who are passing by, going along life's journey. And when we see the enemy coming to try to alter or destroy that truth or to attack, God says, warn the wicked. God says, declare to them again the wickedness of their way and cause them to turn. Because in doing so, he said, not only will you save that wicked man, but you'll also save your own life. Because God said, if you don't warn them, then I'm going to require their blood at your hands. And that's over in Ezekiel 3. Then we showed you in Ezekiel 14 regarding the elders. There were some elders in Ezekiel's day who were not living according to God's word. And they were worshiping idols in private. And this is why it's important for us as God's people. You got to remember this, saints of God. You don't develop character because you said yes to Jesus. You develop the character of Christ because that's your choice, because you choose to obey God. You fear the Lord. You fear the Lord because the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of it. And when we fear the Lord and you reverence him, that means the way I am in public, that's the way I am in private. I don't just live for a public audience, you know, when I come to church. No. We have to live in such a way that honors God, because remember, righteousness is what exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. Sin will always tear your life down. Whether it's private sin or whether it's public sin, it's going to tear your life down. And it's foolish of any of us to think, even as Bishop Wooden said on Friday night, any of us to think that we can live secret lives of sin and then think that everything is going to go well in our lives. It's foolish for you to think you can have a secret life of any type of sin, anything that's unconfessed, anything that's undealt with, and have an unrighteous lifestyle and think that there's not a God in heaven that sees what you're doing and that he's not going to give you, again, a consequence, or there's not going to be any recompense for that. Every one of us has to stand before God. Every one of us has to give an account. That's on the great day. But prior to that, God says, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. And so these elders, these leaders, were in private worshiping idols. But then they'd come to church and pretend like they wanted to hear a word from God. And Ezekiel told them, don't give them a word. They want to hear what they want to hear. They want to be told how they're going to prosper. They want to be told three ways to their blessings. They want to be told how they can just get this bottle of oil and just anoint their pillows and their houses and everything. God's going to bless them. They just want to be told again how they can have breakthroughs and go to the next level. They want to know how they can get more cars and houses and how they can gain more money. They want to know how they can again be promoted on jobs. That's the only thing they really want to know. They want to hear a self-centered, self-promoting, self-serving message. But God said to them, he said to Ezekiel the prophet, he said, do not tell them what they want to hear. He said, you give them the word that I've given them. And saints, that's our mandate. That's my mandate as a pastor. That's my mandate as a teacher of the word of God. And it's our mandate as God's people to proclaim the truth, and not just to proclaim it, but tell somebody to practice it, to live it, because it's your lifestyle that gives you the anointing to destroy yokes. You see that? It's the life. And so this is something that you got to really understand and dig into. And so with that being said, we've been dealing with this subject. And we got to know this, because, like we said, it's a lot of people on television, a lot of people on Facebook, a lot of, you know, people telling you a whole lot of things, saying a lot of things about the Lord and all this kind of stuff. But you better remember, there's a lot of doctrines of demons being taught. And there's a lot of stuff being said that's just not true. You cannot sin and win. You can't sing it and win. You cannot expect to live any kind of way you want to live and then think God's going to still bless you. Write this down. Write this principle down. Our pastor taught us this years ago. You cannot make up and sacrifice what you lose through disobedience. Let me say that one more time. You can't make up and sacrifice what you lose through disobedience. In other words, what he meant and what I give you understanding, you can't disobey God. You can't see what the Word of God says or hear what the Word of God says being preached. You hear it or read it and know that this is what I should be doing, but choose to do something else, but then come to church and want to work like you on fire, jump and scream and holler and fall out, run and do all these religious gyrations and be a public wonder, you know, or want to, okay, Lord, I'm going to do this. Lord, I'm going to fast. Lord, I'm going to pray. Lord, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do all these things, but you're still disobeying what God said. See, you're trying to make up in sacrifice what you've lost through disobedience. You can't do that. God told Saul, the king, when he sacrificed over there in 1 Samuel 15, and God told him, again, you all go in, kill everything in this particular city. Don't let anything live. Saul decided, well, I ain't going to kill everything. I'm going to keep the best sheep, best of the animals, and I'm going to take the gold and all that stuff, and we're going to give it to God. He had no intentions of giving it to God, nor his men. They did it because that's what they wanted to do, because they were greedy and because they had covetousness in their heart. The prophet Samuel came to him and confronted him on that issue and said, why have you not obeyed the word of the Lord? And Saul said, of course, I have. I did what God said. Look, we killed all this stuff. And Samuel asked the question then, why do I hear all these sheep bleeding? Why am I hearing all these cows mooing? Why am I hearing all this ruckus in the back? And he, we saved these for the sacrifice to the Lord. And we got this gold. We're going to bring that to the temple. And Saul, again, made those excuses. But Samuel said to him, does the Lord delight in the actual fact of offerings more so than he does obedience? He said, the Lord delights in obedience, not sacrifice. Not sacrifice. And so this is what we got to remember, because as God's people, we got to remember this. We are the light to the world. And if our light is darkened, then tell somebody, as Jesus said, how gross is that light? If the light is dim, then what is the world going to do? And they're in darkness. And I don't know about anybody else, but I've told y'all this in the past. I've been in some deceptive light before. And some of y'all know what I'm talking about. You got some of them little 40-watt light bulbs from Dollar General and Family Dollars. And they're cheap. Not only are they low wattage, but they're also cheaply made, you know, and they give off a dim light. They give off a light that is not like the sunlight. And I told y'all years ago when I was getting dressed, my wife and I was going to church, and man, I got up, man, I was clean as a whistle. I thought. Until I got to church, got out the car, and the light of day, I looked down and I saw a blue sock and a brown sock. I said, Lord, have mercy. I had on a blue sock and a brown sock. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me right then and said, deceptive light. Deceptive light. Everybody looks good if you comparing yourself with other people, or you comparing yourself to yourself. We have to look at the Word of God. We look in the perfect mirror of the Word that gives us the image of what we should look like. And so this is what we got to know, and Jesus has given us this mandate. I got to hurry up. So in dealing with these things, we've been talking about some landmarks. And we gotta hold true to these things, saints. We gotta stand strong on them as a people. You're gonna have to stand strong on these in your individual lives. We talked about the landmark of gender. the landmark of gender, because again, we're in a time right now where the actual gender of people, the enemy is changing. And people, he's giving people a mind to think, men, that he's given a man a mindset like Bruce Jenner, that I'm a woman, so therefore I'm going to change my body, and I'm going to make some alterations to me, to myself physically, and I'm going to make myself look like a woman. And then you got some women who think they're men, and because of that, they're making alterations to their bodies to make themselves look like men. All right. And so, but you got to remember that this was not so in the beginning. Mark 1:26, God made them male and female. And we have to know that, listen, you got to know the truth of God's word is you are who God made you to be according to the actual physiological makeup of your physical body from the womb. You got to resist that spirit that tries to tell you you're something different than what God made you. No matter who has said something, no matter what somebody has done to you, whether it's abuse, molestation, or any other type of satanic influence, you are not what happened to you. You are who God says you are. We can't allow this. Well, you know, they just, you know, this is, you know, everybody has a right to be who they feel they are. That's the Bible talks about, that's the wisdom of this world. And the wisdom of this world is sensual. First of all, he said it's earthly. Then he said it's evil. Then he said it's sensual. It's based upon feelings. And that will get you and I destroyed. You are, tell somebody, if you a man, you got a penis and testicles, you are a man. You see, women, you got breasts and a vagina, you are a woman. You see that? That's who you are, and you live like a woman, you walk like a woman, you talk like a woman, you dress like a woman, you act like a woman, because that's who you are. If you a man, you look like a man, you walk like a man, you talk like a man, you behave like a man. You see that? Because that is what God has made us. And there's a big distinction between men and women. Very, very big distinction between men and women. So that when you see the differences, then you understand, you see a man, you see a woman, and you know the difference between the two. And that's what we stand upon. Amen. Then we said the landmark of life. Landmark of life, deals with we believe in life from the womb. Jeremiah 1:15 says, listen, before I formed thee in the womb, I knew you. We don't support abortion. No. Because as I said beforehand, statistically, abortion was started, the ideology, satanic ideology, by Margaret Sanger. Margaret Sanger, and I got her, I mean, I'm reading a book right now that has her quote of why she said what she said to start what is known as Planned Parenthood clinics. She said I can't quote it verbatim. I don't have the book in front of me, but she was saying in this article, she said the African American race is a diabolical race. A race that has to be controlled. A race that has to be, again, done away with. The African American race. So they came up with the idea, she came up with the idea of Planned Parenthood, and to put the Planned Parenthood clinics in the African American and now the Latino neighborhoods. If you look at it statistically, over 70% of the Planned Parenthood clinics are in African American communities and Latino communities. And is there any reason why there are over 4,000 babies, African American babies, aborted every single day nationwide right here in America? And the predominant number of those babies aborted are African American children. That's why our population is at a standstill. In America, the Latino race now supersedes the African American race because they keep their babies. Majority of them keep their babies. You see, but in the African American community, we abort our children. We abort them and then we don't adopt. And the Bible tells us, again, any time a land or a nation of people kills or sheds innocent blood, the Bible says the land is going to spew them out. the land is going to spew them out. In other words, the land is going to push those people out of that land. And this is why we got to understand, God is the God who gave life, and he's the originator of life, and we have no right to take life. We honor life from the womb all the way to the tomb. From the womb to the tomb. That baby is not a mistake. That baby is not an accident. That baby is not, again, something that you can just discard like you discard trash. That is a human being. That baby has a soul. That baby has emotions. That is a living being. And you and I have to know that that child in the womb has a right to life the same way everybody else has a right to life. And they was telling the testimony. Bishop Wooden was giving a testimony, matter of fact, on Friday night of, was it Friday or Thursday? It might have been Thursday night. Pastor Willie Bamberg's daughter got up and sang a very beautiful, I'm talking about, she sang a very beautiful song, led in worship, and she's about 14, 15 years old. Do you know that when she was in the womb, the doctors told her parents to abort her? Because they looked at the ultrasound or whatever the machinery they have, and they saw all of these cysts on her brain, over 100 cysts on her brain. And they had said to the family, she is not going to have a high quality of life. She is not going to, again, be one that is going to have a good life because we see all of these lesions on her brain. The girl is standing up 15 years old, got great sense, all her faculties, is a worshiper of God, loves God, beautiful young lady, singing God's praises. Now, if they would have listened to the wisdom of the world or the wisdom of these doctors, then they would have aborted a precious soul that is now a blessing to the kingdom of God. See, and this is why we don't hold the answer to everything. We don't know what God is going to do. We don't know the end result of anybody's life. And this is why we protect the landmark of life. Then we said number three, we also defend the landmark of marriage, as we've said beforehand. And we dealt with this. Marriage is between one man, one woman. Amen. Not two men, not two women. Okay. Not a man and a dog or a woman and a horse. No. Man. One testimony, one man and one woman. You can't have a wife and a girlfriend. You can't have a husband and a boyfriend. You can't have a wife and a side chick. You can't have a husband, you know, a husband and then you got another little, what they call a sugar daddy down the street somewhere. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. Testimony, no, sir. No, sir. You can't do that. And because you are now destroying the image of marriage. When he made them in the beginning, he made them male and female. He brought the woman to Adam, and Adam said, this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. And you see, and he said, now, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. All right. God didn't bring Adam three women, two women. He brought him one. And Adam said, for this cause, a man is going to commit to his wife. And so we protect the institution of marriage. We stand upon it between one man and one woman. No matter what the law or anybody else says, we do what God says. Amen. Then we said number four, we said the landmark of sexual intimacy. And that gets into single life and as well as any other type of sexual life. That gets into the fact that singles, listen, you know, as well as married people, because married people commit adultery. Glory to God, help us, you know, and singles, you got to remember, You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. That's all of us. We're God's temple. We're the Lord's temple. And so as the Lord's temple, you got to know that God wants you to stay holy and celibate until you are married. And he's a keeper if you want to be kept. And I ain't sitting up here telling you there's anything easy about that. No, nothing about serving God is easy. You know, you got temptations all around you. I got saved at the age of 18 years old, a freshman at UNCG, University of North Carolina, Greensboro, 13-1 ratio, 13 women to every one man. I was under some pressure. I was under some pressure. Cause I liked the women before I got saved. You know, I like the woman now, but I liked the women before I got saved. And so, you know, and in the midst of that environment, I prayed and asked God, I said, God, keep me, Lord. If I found out, read the Bible, because before I got saved, I didn't know that sleeping around was wrong. I stopped drinking. I stopped smoking. I stopped getting high. I need to stop fighting. I need to stop stealing. I need to stop doing all these things. I need to stop that. But I was like, what's wrong with having sex? I really didn't understand that. I really was confused about that. I'm being transparent this morning. And until they showed me in the Word, and I said, dadgum, it's in there. And once I known it was in there, I said, doggone, I got to do what the Bible says. And I said, well, Lord, if you want me to do this, you better do something. You better do something in me then. You got to do something in me if you want me to do this. You know, and the Lord did. He began to do what is known as a sanctifying work. And God will keep you no matter what. Now, did I have to turn away from some things? Yes. Did I have to change my environment? Yes. Did I have to get away from some people like we talked about in marriage class this morning? Yes. Did I have to make some other sacrifices? Yes, I did. But God kept us until the day I got married. 5 years later, I said yes to my wife. And you know the testimony. We didn't kiss until the day we got married. We dated for 2 years. And y'all see how fine she is? Mm-hmm. She wanted to kiss me, but I told her, no, 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 no. You ain't getting none of these lips. I ain't getting none of these lips till we say I do. Because you got to remember, 5 years, that wood was dry. My wood was dry, baby. It don't take much to spark that. I said, you don't want to get this fire burning. So I told her, you sit over there. I will sit over here. We gonna just talk. Well, ain't nobody got time. You going to church talking about Pastor, we fail. Pastor, we fail. I had seen that. I said, no, ain't gonna have me plastered up on the front of the church. I said, no. So I said, I think we'll, you know, 2 years, for two solid years, we dated, we talked, we got to know each other, and we got married on May 22nd, again, 1993, and that's the day we kissed. Get ready to God. And so I'm trying to tell you, I ain't telling you something I don't know, I'm telling you what I know. God will keep you if you want to be kept. Now, let me give you the practical side of that. If you don't want to be kept, then get married. That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians. He said, now listen, if you can't control that itch, you want to scratch. He said, well, then you better get married then. Get married and then learn what it takes to be a husband or a wife. Besides that, tell somebody, walk it out. And that gets into sexual intimacy. Leviticus, we talked about that. Leviticus 20, 1 through 27, that gets into all type of areas. So, like I said, that's men and women, no more pornography. Oh, it got quiet up in this church. You got to deal with that, man. Yes, sir. No, you know, you're talking about somebody who grew up watching pornography as well, but you gotta deal with that. You gotta lay it on the cross. You gotta take it to the cross. You see? And don't let them images get in your mind. How you gonna stay celibate with all that with that mess in your mind? How you think you gonna stay right in your mind? And how you gonna pray with all that junk in your mind? It ain't gonna happen. You know? And let me tell you something. And God ain't gonna take away the desire. I used to pray the same thing. Oh, Lord, take it out. Take it away, Lord. Take it away, Lord. Take it away, take it away, Lord. God said, I gave you the desire, you nut. I gave you the desire for sexual intimacy. You have just allowed the enemy to pervert it. And if you put all this stuff before you, then you will never have your mind renewed. So you gotta confess it. Confess it. Tell a brother. Tell whoever. Tell me whatever, man. I'm struggling in this area. So that then we'll know how to hold you accountable, pray with you, and get to the root of it. Because remember, there is always a root. And so whatever the issues are, you're able to deal with that. Same way if it's related to not just that, but if it's some came out of homosexuality, lesbianism, you got to deal with that. You got to deal with that. You got to deal with that the same way I had to deal with fornication. You know, you got to make the same. I'm coming out of that. And I'm going to walk upright. I'm going to walk the way God would have me to walk. I mean, whatever it is, you got to make that decision, because that is a part of your sanctification. And the Holy Ghost will empower you when you make the decision. Amen. So we dealt with those things. So the last 10 minutes that I have, we're going to deal with the landmark of salvation. Number five, the landmark of salvation. Because saints, you got to know in whom you believe. And not all roads lead to heaven. There's ideology in this day that says all roads lead to heaven. Oprah Winfrey says everybody's got a God. Or everybody is a God. The God in you, the God in me. That's New Age. It's humanism. And it will destroy your life. All right? See, some of y'all get mad. I start calling names because he's dealing with some of your little idols and gods in your life. Let me tell you something. The word of God is true. And I don't care I don't care how much money they have. I don't care what type of popularity they have. I don't care what position they're in. God said, let every man be a lie and he be true. And you're going to have to check things in your life that are contrary to the word of God. And there are some people proclaiming some things that's just not true. You consulting a horoscope, you consulting all kind of little, what was them things? Tarot cards and like I said, what's my sign? All that craziness. Are you crazy? Let me ask you that. Are you crazy? Reading newspapers about, you know, what's going to happen today and all this kind of stuff. You better get into the word of God because none of those things has anything to do with your destiny, your future, or anything that has to do with your life in Christ. Your destiny is secure in the Lord. He predestined you from the foundation of the world. He set you on the path and he has your days already marked out. If you want to know what's going to happen in your future, you better get to the word of God and depend on the one who knows the future and trust him. The landmark of salvation says this. Let me give it to you. Let me give you a few scriptures. John 3:3. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. Came to Jesus by night. Let's go there real quick. John 3:3. Because you got to know. You got to know how you're saved. You got to know that there's no other way to be saved except faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said to Nicodemus in John 3:3. He said this right here. Jesus answered and said to him, well, because Nicodemus had already tried to butter him up, you know, came to him and said, you know, Rabbi, we know you be a teacher come from God. No man can do these miracles except God be with him. Jesus said, paraphrase, Jesus, I love the way the Lord, he cuts right to the chase. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He let him know that right quick. And listen, let me write this down. Write this down. Nicodemus came for answers. He came for answers. He didn't come because he wanted the anointing. Right? He came because he had a concern. He didn't come to make a commitment. See that? See, a lot of times, see, we can be in church. You can be in church. And people come to church for different reasons. They come because they got questions about life. They come because they got concerns and cares. But they really don't come to Jesus for a commitment. Okay? Because this is why Jesus got right down to the business with Nicodemus. He said, Nicodemus, let you know something, Nick. You're not going to understand anything about the kingdom of God unless you're born again. The natural man cannot discern spiritual things. So he said, Nick, I know you're not really coming to commit to me, but let me let you know something. Unless you make a commitment, all your concerns are going to stay the same way they are. I know you don't really understand. You got cares in life, but until you commit to me, nothing is going to change in your life. I know you want answers, but he said, I'm not going to give you any answers. I'm going to let you know the truth. You have to be born again. People sometimes think, well, if I come to church, if I shake the preacher's hand, if I pray, if I give an offering, if, you know, if I read the Bible, you know, if I help people, if I stop doing some things that I shouldn't be doing, you know, if I do whatever these things are, God is going to, again, let me into, as they say, the pearly gates. I'm going to be all right with God if I just do these things. That's the way Nicodemus thought. But Jesus told him right quick, Nicodemus, you must be born again. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. And there is no other way. Go down here, drop down here to verse 16 and 17, he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved." Every one of us have to be saved. Every one of us have to be delivered from a life of sin. Okay. 1 Timothy 1:15 says this right here. Paul says, "Here is a noteworthy saying that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." And Paul says, "And I was the chief." Paul said, "I'm the chief of all these sinners." He said, "But Christ came to save sinners." And on this Independence weekend and moving into this week, this is what we're here. We're here to proclaim God's liberty bell. We are celebrating our independence as a nation on Wednesday, July the 4th. But you got to know that your independence came in Christ. You were set free from the bondage of sin when you said yes to Jesus, when you accepted him as Lord and Savior, when you made a commitment to Jesus Christ, when you confessed your sins and you asked him to come into your heart and be your Lord and Savior. That is the day you were set free. That's the day you received your independence. And that's what we preach. We don't preach salvation in any other means other than the name of Jesus Christ. And religious activity, coming to church, doing good things, being a good person, not lying, not fighting, not stealing, not clubbing. Because you do know there are some unsaved people who live better than church people. There are some people who don't name the name of Christ. Who don't smoke, they don't drink, they don't lie, they don't steal, they don't fornicate, they don't do a whole lot of things. You got some Muslims that live better than that. Don't eat pork. They got very disciplined lives, but they ain't born again. You got some monks and some other religious people in different areas that's living better than a lot of Christians in terms of just living, but they're not born again. And Jesus said to a religious leader in his day that, "Nicodemus, you know the law backwards and forwards. You understand Moses from Genesis all the way throughout, again, the rest of the Torah to Deuteronomy. But you are not born again. You can be in church all your life and be lost. You can know the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and not be born again. You could have heard thousands and thousands upon of sermons, but not be born again." And this is why we teach and we defend the landmark of salvation. Go with me to Acts 4 and 12. Real quick. Acts 4 and 12. I got to hurry up. This is last. I'm going to give you two more scriptures and I got to close out. Acts 4 and 12 says this. "Because saints, how do you know you're born again? How do you really know you're born again? As Pastor Logan said, if you don't have an undeniable experience with God, then the future pressures in life are going to cause you to deny him." What is your undeniable experience with Jesus Christ? Because everywhere Paul went, Paul said, "I was on my way to Damascus. I was on my way to Damascus to bind some people. I had letters from the religious leaders." And he said, "I saw a bright shining light, knocked me off my high horse of religion, and I surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he saved me." Paul told his testimony everywhere he went. He testified of what Jesus did. And then he gave us the gospel. He gave us the gospel. He gave us the message of salvation that we preach and that we declare, wherein we're saved. We're saved by grace through faith. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anybody can boast. That's Ephesians 2 and 8. If you want to write that down, we're saved by grace through faith. We're saved by the grace of God. Why? Because we were all sinners. Let me read this to you. Acts 4 and 12 says this right here. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." He's talking about the name of Jesus Christ. You can't be saved outside of acknowledging the fact that you are a sinner. That's what Paul says. That's a noteworthy saying. 1 Timothy 1:15 is a noteworthy saying. Christ came into the world to save sinners. So in order for you to get saved, you got to first of all recognize you're lost. That's why we preach the cross. 1 Corinthians 15, we preach the cross again, that Jesus Christ died according to the scriptures. He was buried according to the scriptures. He rose again on the third day according to the scripture. But let's go back. Why did he die? He died for the sin of mankind. When John the Baptist came baptizing over there in John chapter 1, John told them disciples that was with him, he said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. What's the sin of the world? The sin of every man, every woman that's ever been born is the Adamic nature. Every one of us have the Adamic nature. We have the nature of Adam, and that nature is the nature to tell God, I don't need you in my life. That's that nature that says, I don't want you. I don't need you. I'm not going to do what you want me to do. I am going to be my own boss, and I will not submit to any type of Lord. That is the Adamic nature in every one of us. That's why you ain't got to teach a baby. You ain't got to teach a baby after they're born, after a certain amount of time. You ain't got to teach them how to lie. You ain't got to teach them to steal. You ain't got to teach them to be jealous. You ain't got to teach them to be covetous. You ain't got to teach them to do any of those things. It's innately in every human being, because every one of us have what is known as the sin nature. That's why Jesus died the most gruesome death, and he was hung up on a tree, because he died for sin. He became sin. And what an insult for anybody to think that I can work or do something in order for God to now accept me and let me come into his eternal resting place. The greatest sin, I've said it before, the greatest sin anybody commits is to reject the gift of salvation. Because, as Hebrew declares, the writer of Hebrew declares, if God did not hold them guiltless, that took the blood of goats and sheep and bulls and didn't really appreciate that as being a holy sacrifice, God said, how much more do you think he's going to hold them, again, accountable who scoff or reject the blood of his only begotten son? You see that? Tell somebody, Christ died for sinners. And you ought to be honest. Tell somebody, I'm the chief. I was the one. With your lying, fornicating, stealing, idolatrous, wicked, deceptive self. That's every one of us. Don't ever get the mindset, well, I ain't bad as him, I ain't bad as her, I ain't did this, I ain't did that, I ain't this, I ain't that. Let me tell you something. Your heart is deceitfully wicked. That monster is desperately wicked. It is deceptive. You can't know it, and you better know that unless Jesus Christ changes your heart, you're on your way to hell. You are lost. And that's why Jesus gave us that parable over there in Luke 10. You got to read it for yourself in Luke 10. He gave three different parables. He talked about, again, he dealt with a lost coin. All right. He dealt with lost sheep. Then he dealt with a lost son. So it was lost silver, a lost sheep. And then he dealt with a lost son. The coin was lost in the house. The woman lost the coin in her house. So you can be in the house of God lost. You can be in church all your life. Mom and daddy been saved. Grandma and all them been saved. But you in the house. Come to church all the time. And hear the word of God. All this kind of stuff. Be around religious people all your life. And still be lost in the house. Why do you think she rejoiced when she found it? Because for the first time, saved people in church realize I need to be saved. Religious works don't save me. And so this is why we preach. We protect the landmark of salvation. You see that? I don't have time to teach the rest of it, but read these scriptures in your prayer time, because saints, this is how you know, because you got to be able to defend the faith that you have in Jesus Christ. How do you know you're born again? You know you're born again because Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, convicted me of my sin. I acknowledged my sin, and I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, and be my Lord and Savior. And the Spirit of God, again, indwelt me on that day, and he changed my life, and I'm saved according to, listen, not my feelings, not what I think. I'm saved according to the Word of God, what God said. But there is a tangible change that does happen, because when you acknowledge him, when you do what Romans 10:9-10 says, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, then he said you shall be saved. You ain't saved on no feeling, saved because you shook somebody's hand, saved because you come to church, saved because you serve, saved because you're an elder, a minister, a deacon, or whatever. You're saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You're saved because you've acknowledged your sins. You're saved because you've received him as your Lord and Savior. You are saved. You're born again because the Spirit of God has made you new. You're saved because he paid the price for your sin. He redeemed you. He redeemed us. That's how we're saved. To try to go any other way or to think any other way, you are insulting the grace of God. You ain't no God. You ain't righteous in yourself. You can't do nothing to please God. The only way we please God is through Christ. Everything has to go through Jesus Christ. Everything goes through him. All of our works is in and by him. Why do we do what we do? We do what we do because he saved us. He delivered us. And we're living for him. Everything has to go through him. He is the mediator. He's the mediator between God and man. Stand to your feet. I'm finished. But that's the landmark of salvation. Anybody try to tell you other way? How you know you say, well, I go to church. Well, I stopped smoking. Well, I used to be on drugs, but I stopped using drugs. Well, I used to be a thief. I stopped stealing, so I guess I'm right with God. What? No. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins? Do you believe that he was buried? Do you believe that he, again, was laid in the tomb, but on the third day he rose again? Do you believe, again, the message of what the scripture declares? Well, if you believe that, belief is not just something that you just say. Belief is an action. Then you have to decide to receive him as your Lord and Savior. Because outside of that, you're yet in your sin. You are yet in your sin. And I just want to pray for anybody that's here today to say, hey, because I'm not taking for granted anybody here. I don't care your position. I don't care your title. I don't care how long you've been doing it. I don't care about any of that kind of stuff. Because like I said, I wasn't there when you say God did whatever you did, whatever he did in your life. You see what I'm saying? Because some of y'all came. And you came to church. You came and, you know, and you say, yeah, I'm saved. But I want to make sure that you know, did you do that according to the scriptures? Did you receive Jesus Christ according to what the word of God says? Do you know that you know that you know that you are born again and that the Spirit of God indwells you and that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life? Because when you're saved, you know it. Just like my youngest daughter, you know, I can't say that, can I? You can't say, I can't say. But listen, let me say this. A woman knows when she's pregnant. A woman knows when there's something in her body that is different. She ain't got to have all the answers. She ain't got to have all the x-rays and ultrasounds and all that kind of stuff. She knows that there is something going on the inside of her. She knows by the fatigue. She knows by the nausea. She knows by the whatever other changes going on. And you know when Christ, the seed of the word, the seed of the Spirit of God, is now abiding in you. You know this because he begins to make a change in your life. He begins to let you know that, you know what? The life you're living is not a life that's pleasing to me. He begins to deal with you about your attitude, your words, and all the other things. He begins to, again, change the way you think. You see? Because the Bible lets us know, that's what John the Revelator writes that in his letters. He said, how can we who are now his continue in sin? It's impossible for somebody who is Christ to continue living in sin. He said, because the nature of him is now abiding in you. And that's how you know you're born again. He seals you with the Spirit of promise. He seals you with the Spirit of promise. After you believe, after you confess, and after you receive the free gift, he then seals you. And so I just want to make sure everybody has been sealed today. So if you will, stand to your feet all over this sanctuary. Just lift your hands in the presence of the Lord. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for everybody here, and then we're gonna partake of Holy Communion. That, listen, I just want you to know that you know that you know that you're right with God, and that you are born again. And I'm not talking about if you've made a mistake and you've fallen or whatever. No, If you fall into sin since being born again, the Bible says confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I'm talking to the person who has never made a decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For the person who is, maybe you've been religious, maybe you've been coming to church, maybe you've been a good person, but you know based upon your life, you're not living for Jesus Christ. And you say today, Lord, I want you to forgive me. I want you to come into my heart. And I want you to be not just the Savior. I want you to be the Lord and Savior of my life. That's what we're praying. So lift your hands and I want you to pray with me. Everyone who will and who desires to. And listen, if you're already born again, just pray along with the people who may be praying the prayer for the first time. And let's all again ask the Lord to cleanse us and for him to be our Lord and Savior. Say with me, Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your sacrifice for my sins. And Lord, today I do believe that you died for my sins according to the scriptures. I believe that you were buried according to the scriptures. And I believe that you rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And today, Lord, I ask you, forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Come into my heart and be the Lord and Savior of my life. I acknowledge you now as my Lord and my Savior. And I make a verbal commitment and a heart dedication to live for you by your grace all the days of my life. Holy Spirit, indwell me. Holy Spirit, empower me and help me to live as a child of God, pleasing unto my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.